Welcome to the Equipped to Lead podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. Today, we are in the middle of a little mini series titled Mastering Ministry Transitions. Most of us know instinctively that transitions where we decide what to do, where to go, maybe when to stay, how to move forward. Those are make or break moments in our lives. It is really important that we get the ministry transition times right in our lives. Now, just before we jump into today's focus, let me remind you that you can find many resources for your ministry, including a free course titled How to Find and Empower Your Ministry Team at paultotimothy.com. We want to invest into your ministry. Head over there, paultotimothy.com, and take advantage of those resources there that are available for you and your leadership. Now, let's get back to the focus of today, mastering ministry transition. Specifically, I want us to chat through this today. How do you handle a forced transition? I am telling you, there is a very large percentage of ministers. I have seen one study in one particular fundamental denomination in America that indicated that 25% of their ministry leaders will either be fired or forced out. Now, I want to talk about how do you handle a forced ministry transition, but I'm not simply talking about a time where you're forced out or fired. Let me define what I mean by this forced transition. It is a time when you experience a forced exit, either emotionally or literally. There was a great 16th century document, St. John of the Cross, a Carmelite monk. He wrote a document. Some feel like that he wrote that when he was in prison, but the document is a classic, still is today. It's titled The Dark Night of the Soul. Well, I want to apply that general concept of the dark night of the soul to surviving a ministry transition. Again, not simply talking about where you have been literally forced out, although that could be the case. I'm also talking about a time when you are emotionally forced to be diminished. It was Chuck Swindoll in his wonderful biography on the Apostle Paul, the book is entitled Paul, said this, "Your time of God-ordained waiting will never be all that significant in other people's minds. All they know is that you dropped out of sight. You're gone from the scene. It may begin with a bankruptcy. It may start with a horrible experience you go through, such as a tragic accident or devastating illness. You may endure the pain of torn reputation caused by someone who didn't tell the truth. All that devastation has a way of breaking you. The Lord uses the disappointment to lead you to your own experience of His waiting room. There, He begins to work deep within your soul until you, at that point, gain such a renewed perspective you can honestly confess, along with the Apostle Paul, when I am weak, He is strong. When that happens, you will be ready to come out of the shadows." If you've been in ministry for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. The dark night of the soul, a forced transition, doesn't happen simply by being fired or forced to leave somewhere. That could be the case. But one of the common factors of a forced transition is the emotional isolation or literally removal. And you feel so dramatically that it has turned into a wintertime experience. One of the teachings that I give to ministry leaders that has been very impacting upon their lives by their comments back to me is a teaching that I do on surviving the seasons of ministry. In surviving the seasons of ministry, I talk about four kinds of seasons. I talk about springtime, when God is doing something new. I talk about summertime, when God is asking us to work hard with what He has already given us to do, our role, our specific project and focus. I talk about harvest time, which is a stewarding time of protecting the harvest, not a time to leave, a time to get the harvest into the barn, make sure that we steward what God has produced. Springtime, summertime, harvest time. They're all about the production brought from a seed. But there is a fourth season that is critically important to us. It is wintertime. Wintertime is not about the seed at all. Wintertime is about the soil, and you and I are the soil. Now, the thing that I point out when I do the seasons teaching, especially for ministry leaders, is that the secret to surviving and thriving in the seasons of your ministry is to learn how to align your expectations with what God is doing in the season that you are presently in. So conversely, the fastest path to burnout in ministry leadership is to align our expectations outside of the season that God has us in right now. St. John of the Cross, again, from The Dark Night of the Soul, said this, "God's love is not content to leave us in our weakness, and for this reason He takes us into a dark night. He weans us from all the pleasures by giving us dry times and inward darkness. No soul will ever grow deep in the spiritual life," St. John tells us, "unless God works passively in that soul by the means of the dark night." Wintertime is not something to be avoided, and I can tell you, you won't be able to avoid any of the seasons. The seasons that God has you in ministry, you're brought into those seasons by God-ordained sovereign hand. Those seasons have a purpose, and you will move to the next season in God's time. That's out of our focus. That's out of our control. Our job, respond to the season that we are in. So what is it that happens in the wintertime season? The wintertime season is designed for the formation of the heart. C.S. Lewis, in his classic book, The Great Divorce, said, "There are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, in the end, 'Thy will be done.'" What does wintertime do? It prepares us. It forms us. It forms us to contain and align with the purposes of God and to be conformed into the image of Christ. Let me say it again. Wintertime is about formation, the formation of our heart, so that we can align with the purposes of God and also be conformed to the image of Christ. So I'd like to talk to you about two things that happen in the wintertime of our life, or you could say it this way. How do you master the ministry transition of the dark night of the soul when I'm in my own wintertime and it's not about doing something new, working hard for what I have been given by God to do, or even a harvest? The work of the Spirit is interior, what God is doing in my heart. The first thing that happens is this. There is a cutting away of things that will diminish my purpose and Christ's image in my own life. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, And also it's less, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Do you catch the context? Of course, most of you as ministry leaders, you've preached this passage. You know that it correlates to Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, lust of the eyes, turn this stone into bread, lust of the eyes, let me give you the kingdoms of the world, avoid the cross, pride of life, cast yourself down from the temple, let the angels pick you up, elevate yourself in the eyes of men. I love the teachings that simplify and put the three big temptations into common vernacular. There is a temptation to be happy now, lust of the flesh, elevated now, lust of the eyes, and powerful now, pride of life. Let me tell you what is cut away in the wintertime. What is cut away are inordinate desires that would easily allow decisions and values and priorities and lifestyle and ministry focus to all be tainted by the values of being happy now, elevated now, and powerful now at the expense of God's purposes and the image of Christ in our own lives. Let me return to it again. The purpose of wintertime, to prepare us to fulfill God's purposes and reflect His image. Wintertime is a shift from what we're doing to who we are. The first three seasons, by the way, the springtime season, God putting new thoughts into our heart. Summertime, working hard with what He has given. Harvest time, stewarding and protecting what He has given. Springtime, summertime, and fall. Very much a focus on what we're doing. Wintertime's different. Wintertime is a focus about who we are. What is the first thing that begins happening? And it happens simultaneously. I'll give you the two right now. One is there is a cutting away during the dark night of the soul. We realize so many things that have caused me to focus on being happy now, elevated now, powerful now. Some of those things can divert me away from God's purposes and His image. What happens also during the time of the cutting away is what is being grafted upon our lives in the dark night of the soul. In Matthew 16, the apostle Peter, Simon, has a revelation. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus turns and looks at him and says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Do you notice the dynamic of telling here? Peter tells Jesus who he is to him, and Jesus tells Peter who he is to him. This dynamic of telling, as Peter grows in his own revelation of who Christ is, the revelation of God's power and purpose is revealed more strongly in Peter's life. It happens with us as well. I love the C.S. Lewis story, Prince Caspian. In the book, the text says this. Lucy looks at Aslan and says, "You're bigger." And Aslan looks back and says, "That's because you are older, little one," answered he. "Not because you are bigger?" "I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger." One of the greatest examples of the cutting away and the grafting upon dynamic, that's what happens in wintertime. The cutting away of inordinate values and priorities that would thwart or diminish God's purposes and the conforming of our image to Him. There is a cutting away of that, and there is a grafting upon dynamic where we become more aligned with God's purposes and more in tune, more conformed to His image in our life. The Apostle Paul expressed this so very well in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, you can hear the cutting away emphasis. The Apostle Paul says this, "But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ. More than that, I count all things loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." Do you hear the cutting away? Paul is saying, nothing in my history prepares me if it causes a dependence upon myself rather than Christ. He said, I count them all as loss. And then notice the grafting upon focus. Philippians 3, verse 11, just a few verses later, he says, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And then he talks about learning to forget what is behind and reaching forward into what is ahead, God's purposes, his image of being conformed to the image of Christ. Philippians 3 is a beautiful example of a cutting away and a grafting upon focus in the Apostle Paul's life, learning to diminish what thwarts me and diminishes me in terms of priorities and values, and learning to embrace a pursuit, even a pursuit focused on suffering and aligning in God's purposes. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know my Savior. That grafting upon of values for the kingdom. We all go through it, don't we? There's a dark night of the soul that each of us faces. I want to encourage you, as you face your dark night of the soul, to be very sensitive to the emphasis of the Spirit. God is working in your life. Let Him bring about this conforming into His image. Next time we're together, let's take it a step further as we talk about what is learned in the dark night of the soul. What are the specific values and priorities that are grafted upon our lives? We'll take a look at that. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. Hey, remember to head over to paultotimothy.com and check out some resources for your ministry leadership.